let's go. You can pull out your handouts. We're going to go right into the Word. So last week we talked about understanding your pain threshold, and if you don't have it last week teaching, please get a hold of it. We talked about that for a couple of weeks, and so that information is on our website. We do have a few handouts left from that teaching and Emotions of a Leader if you want to get it later on after service and kind of go up and catch up and study. I encourage everybody to catch up because I believe some of the things that we're sharing are so life transformational. They are so life transformational for you and your family and your relationships with your church family members. And we dropped a lot of good nuggets, gold nuggets. Amen? Now, we don't charge anything for it, so that's why I can promote it and not feel guilty, praise God. But it's some good stuff on Wednesday night that's been going out. Amen? And so tonight we're going to really focus in on growing your pain threshold, because remember, you only grow to the side of your pain threshold. And we've been kind of emphasizing leadership, that leadership bent on Sunday, Wednesday night, because you're a leader, if you're a volunteer or if you're a parent in the family context, or if you're a manager on your job or owner of a business, you are a leader. Everybody say, I'm a leader. So you have to accept your leadership role and responsibility. Praise God. Amen. Now, in Hebrews 2, 9 and 10, we see the scripture here. We talked quite a bit of scripture the last couple of weeks, and this kind of springboards off of that. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels, for the suffering. Everybody say suffering. Suffering. Of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, taste death for everyone. For it is fitting for him for whom were all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Everybody say sufferings. So we're emphasizing this suffering word because sometimes people say, well, I'm suffering because they're going through different things. But everything doesn't qualify as biblical suffering as a Christian should embrace. Suffering is not sickness and disease and poverty and lack, as some people want to put that into the Christian suffering. No, that's under the suffering, the curse, suffering the things that are not for us as believers. That means you don't have to tolerate sickness and disease, poverty and lack, spiritual death, because we are believers. Amen? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Everybody say, I am.
Redeemed
from the curse of the law. But part of the Christian program is suffering. Yea, though that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Psalms 34:19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. So that means many. Now, it'd have been okay to my flesh and my mentality if he said afflictions. That means we're going to go through some stuff. But he said, many are the afflictions. That means it's going to be many. But he gives us hope. He says, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Amen? So we got to guarantee that the Lord is always on standby to help and deliver. Isn't that good? Psalms 46:1 tells us, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That's just another word for pain, praise God, or biblical suffering. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you shall have, that's a pretty positive statement, shall have tribulation. Everybody say pain. That's another word for pain. But he said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, that you need to understand that for two reasons. One primary reason is because he has overcome, you can overcome. Isn't that hopeful? That means you will have tough times, you know, tense times, troubling times in your life experience as a Christian believer. But the good news is you can cheer up and have a great attitude. Amen? Because he overcame. You can overcome. Everybody say, he overcame.
He overcame.
Jesus, my Lord.
Jesus, my Lord.
So I can overcome.
So I can overcome.
Amen. Every test, every trial, every temptation, every situation that causes and brings pain.
Amen.
And so what we've been equipping you by the grace of God, and hopefully you've been being equipped by the grace of God and engaging you in, is how to handle painful situations. Because we said very clearly, I'm going to show you the paradigm, the picture here. Let's see if they kept it. Let's see if we got a three-week streak here. They kept the board clean. Did they keep it? Oh, they wiped it away. Okay, all right. Well, we'll talk about it at some point. But change, come on, help me out, class. Change equals what? No. Well, first with the first one, we said change equals loss, and loss equals pain. Therefore, change equals pain. Well, we missed one. We missed growth, right?
Right.
Remember?
Right.
Change equals what? Growth. Growth equals loss. Loss equals pain. Therefore, change equals pain. So let me put it back up here real quick. See if this pen will work. Change equals growth. So in other words, what you want to see is if you're growing, you're changing. And if you're growing, there's something you're losing. That means you stop doing something and you start doing something. Now for us, it's you're losing your sometimes rebellious free will that just want to do whatever you want to do. Because the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, was made perfect through suffering. He didn't even get a chance to say what he wanted to say. Because he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. That means he wasn't opinionated. Amen. Jesus was completely subordinate to the Father. And then he said, I only do what I see my Father do. That means he didn't get to do what he wanted to do or what his flesh wanted to do. That's called suffering. Christian Bible suffering. That means he had to lose his more and more of his ability to say, not my will, but your will be done in my life. Amen? Loss, we said, equals pain, because it's painful when the Lord tells you that you can't eat ice cream tonight and every night. Your flesh says, I want ice cream. I'm just using that simple analogy. And you want to binge watch on Netflix. And the Lord says, no, I want you to study your Bible and pray. So you lose out on watching that show, that series, that episode on Netflix. But it's painful to your flesh. It could be painful to your emotional makeup because now you're screaming inside saying, I want to do this. I want to have this. When God says, no, stop spending on that credit card, those three credit cards, cut them up, and you can't spend on any more than what you have. It's painful. Especially when you got three other offers in the mail saying, you got $500 credit line. You got $1,500 credit line. Amen? So therefore, change equals pain, right? Yeah. Or is it growth equals pain? I think we got it in there. I think we'll, yeah. Growth equals pain. So we call it growing pains, right? No pain, no gain. If you're comfortable right now at Triumph Ward Christian Center, you're not growing. And so something we need to afflict you, or God needs to allow you to be afflicted.
Amen.
Because, come on now. If you're comfortable, and sometimes here's one of the sin of the church, we can get like in the last building, we can get comfortable being in the building, to a point to where people just not even bringing people, So we're disobeying Christ's command, which is a love command. We're not giving and living to forgive others and creating an atmosphere of love. Or we're not following Christ's commission, which means go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Share Christ, show Christ. We're just basically insubordinate or disobedient. Why? Because we don't want to feel any pain. Because people rejecting you saying, no, I ain't coming to your church. It's painful. Because people don't like to be bothered or not to be rejected. Come on now. You got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to get uncomfortable. 1 Peter 5:5-10 says, likewise, ye younger people, submit yourselves to the elder. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Now, how many know that's a little bit of pain? Some people don't look at that as humility and submission as painful. But how many know when you disagree with pastor and he tells you to do something, it's painful to say, yes, sir, to your flesh. I'll do that without any feedback or bad attitude.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Or the Holy Spirit lands on you and says, oh me, and it's like you stepped on, the Holy Spirit stepped on your toes, or he convinced you or convicted you of something that was said from behind this pulpit or platform that hits your heart and hits your mind, then you got to say, yes, sir, correction is good. Because correction yields direction, protection, and perfection.
Amen.
So if you resist correction, you're not submitting. You're not humble because I'm too pride says I'm going to resist correction.
Amen.
But correction is good because God says whom he loves, he what? Corrects. Amen.
Amen.
So when pastor tells you, well, you need to start coming to church, you say, on Wednesday night, you say, yes, sir. I'm not doing it for my benefit. I'm saying it for your benefit.
Amen.
And you got to submit to that. You got to walk in humility and say, okay, I receive. Somebody said, glory to God.
Glory to God.
I don't know if I got in trouble already. All right. God does what? He said, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the what? Proud, and give grace to the humble. Now, how many know it? Every day your flesh wants to be proud. But some people don't want to suffer the pride of their flesh because they want to get up and just run their mouth and yap, do what they want to. And if you can't submit your body and your tongue to your spirit, then the Holy Spirit's got no job on your life that day. You basically unemploy the Holy Spirit because you're not spirit-led, you're body-ruled, body-led. The Bible calls it carnal. Amen? So you got to close yourself in humility. You got to get up and say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? After you relieve yourself, you go into the bathroom the first thing in the morning, you got to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, you had to pray. He might want you to stay and pray for 2 hours. But it's hard and painful to your flesh to tell your flesh, I'm getting up to read the Bible. I'm getting up to pray. I'm going to spend time reading this book or going through this lesson or go back and listen to this recording of the message I missed, or maybe I need to get some more things out of that message because it takes up your time and your flesh says, I ain't got time to do that. I don't want to do that. Amen. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting what? All your cares on him, for he cares for you. So you don't have permission to carry around worries and stress and burdens. That's spiritual contraband. That's illegal. But it's a big deal in the world because you have to follow God's plan. But part of you growing up is walking around as a member of the church, as a leader in the body of Christ at Triumphant Word Christian Center, walking around carefree, burden-free, stress-free, anxiety-free. If you've been carrying it all week and you come and try to dump it on me, amen. That's not humility. The carrying of your cares, as we said, is pride. The casting of your cares is humility. That means you trust the Lord, and if you trust the Lord, you certainly trust your leaders. But if you don't trust the Lord, you won't trust your leader because you'll basically tell people your story and your sob story and your woes, and then you'll take it back home with you. You won't give it to the Lord. You just want to give people your grief. Give people your pain. Y'all hear y'all going home already. Everybody say, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, be steadfast. Because your adversary, everybody say, we got to have an adversary. With the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who's he going to devour? Those that walk in pride. Because he knows pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before Paul. Amen? Amen? Before honor, there's humility. And so he said, those that carry their cares operate in pride, so he's going to devour those who walk around with their cares. He said, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings. Now he's saying these are sufferings. Are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That means you got to deal with your life. The burden of your daily load is your responsibility. Now keep your finger there at that scripture, or we got it on the paper. Turn to Galatians. Let me give you to it in another context here. Everybody good? Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if any be overtaken in a fault, verse 1, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou be also be tempted. Now, the fault we look for, this Greek word means to slide or slip. It means a lapse or a deviation. Because, see, sometimes we got to monitor, we got to make sure people fire's not. If they're not, they lose their focus or they lose their fire, they usually have been overtaken by a fault. If you lose your focus and you lose your fire, the fault has overtaken. Because they're not, you're not responsive to or controlled by the Holy Spirit anymore. You're responsive to and controlled by your circumstances and your flesh or the devil himself. Man, this is worth putting your clothes on and coming to church tonight. Amen. Praise God. And he said, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, here's the first expectation for us. So fulfill the law of Christ. So the law of Christ basically says to us, we are responsible to others and responsible for ourselves. So you're responsible to your brothers and sisters, but you're responsible for ourselves. Doing what others cannot do for themselves is responsible to them. When they're overtaken by a fault, our posture is one of restoration and reconciliation. The focus is they've broken a relationship or they've been broken by a circumstance or sin, let's restore them. Amen? Yeah. Everybody say it with me. I'm responsible
to others,
and I'm responsible for myself. Amen. So everybody has responsibilities that only he or she can carry. Now, if you want to write these down on the side, you can write them down or on the back, what you got notes there. You're responsible for these areas. Feelings. Now, we talked about that, emotions, for a while. Go back and listen to some of the teaching. But what a thing about feelings. What about feelings? Your feelings are your responsibility. God said in his word, Psalms 100 verse 2, he said, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. That means you got to cheer up. That's a choice. You make a choice to rejoice. That's what the whole rejoicing process is for. Help, part of it's for, is to help you maintain good feelings. You got to have healthy, godly emotions. Praise God. Hallelujah. You walk around feeling bad all day, then that's really your responsibility to take care of that. Because the Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So you got to spend more time in the throne room. Get your feelings stirred up. Spend more time in the word and get yourself built up. And you can repel those temptations to feel down and busted and blue and melancholy and laissez-faire.
Yes, amen.
Number two is attitudes. You got to make sure your internal altimeter, that's an attitude control meter on an airplane, your attitude control meter, altimeter, is nose up. Or it could be nose down, or it could be cruise control, comfortable. You got to have an attitude of expectation, of energy. Come on now, of engagement. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. And then behave your behaviors. I mean, you're responsible for your own behavior. Amen. Because that's your mind. It's your mind over matter. That means you think your thoughts precede action. As the mind goes, the man or woman follows. So if you got bad behavior, it's usually because you got bad thinking. Well, we call it stinking thinking. You've got to hygiene your brain and your mentality just like you hygiene your body.
Amen.
Yes. That comes with renewing your mind. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that Jesus sanctifies and cleanses the church through the washing of the water of the word. You got to wash the water of the word over your mind. There's sometimes you might have to take a long bath in God's word.
That's good.
Come on now. Are you listening to me? Spend a couple of hours hygiening your brain because you have to do a checkup from the neck up.
Amen.
Your behavior. And then number four, the responsibilities God has given each of us. Everybody say, I have a responsibility.
I have a responsibility.
Your first responsibility is to be responsible to others and responsible for yourself. That's your first responsibility. Now, obviously, you're responsible for your relationship with the Lord, but you know, I'm talking about the outworking of it. The outworking is I'm responsible to you, but you're responsible for yourself, and I'm responsible for myself. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now the problem comes when people, let's keep reading scripture here. Verse 3, if any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So we're all going through situations in life. So bear ye one another's burdens. So now circle that word burdens, and that means the Greek word is baros or baros, which means burdensome weight or overload. It's like a boulder. You can't carry it by yourself. So when you're overloaded, it's like a boulder. You can't lift it up by yourself. Now, some people try to handle it themselves, but it's not for you to handle. That's where we come in and help, and the body of Christ mobilize in that regard, spiritually and naturally, in a sense. And then he said, verse 4, let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Everybody say burden. Now, this is a different Greek word. This word is a word that means burden of a daily load. That means basically responsibilities. Everybody say responsibilities. So the problem comes when people refuse to help when they have boulders, when they've been overwhelmed or overloaded by a situation. Or, secondly, they refuse to carry their knapsacks or the burden of a daily load, because they take like they're boulders. I mean, just keeping up with their daily pace and schedule is overwhelming to them. I can't take care of my responsibilities. I'm falling apart. I can't handle this. Can't handle life? You got the life of God in you? You got greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world? You have Jesus on the inside, should be working on the outside. Oh, what a change in your life. Come on now.
Amen.
You should be able to handle your responsibilities. Your responsibilities is what you're responsible for. If you're a woman, mother, amen, grandmother, those are three different domestic responsibilities. If you're a father, a man, a father, and a grandfather, or some of you all great-grandfather. Great. Get great. You went from grand to great. Great-grand. Amen? Those are responsibilities. Everybody say responsibilities. And so the result of these problems where the burden of their daily load or your boulders become undealt with, you don't get help when you're overloaded. I'm going to tell you when you're overloaded. Can I hit it square on the face? In the face?
Yes.
Is when you stop putting the spiritual stuff down. You start decreasing your prayer life. You start losing your passion. You start forgetting your purpose. Amen.
Amen.
You start losing your patience. You are overloaded. That means you're not getting the help you need. Either because you're not either asking for it or you're not open to it at church, you know, through the messages, through the prayers, support, through the ministry team that we have, or you're not taking care of your own personal responsibility and you're crying about it. Every little thing in your life is drama, big time. You know, number 10 alarm. This is just, and everybody pay attention. I got 10 alarm going on. But the results of that is perpetual pain, which we're talking about pain, or irresponsibility. And both of them are not good. As growing Christians, we assume more responsibility in our role in the kingdom, especially as leader. So that's why he told them in Hebrews, when you ought to have been teachers after 3 or 4 years, somebody's got to teach you again. The basics, one-on-one, elementary stuff of Jesus Christ. Just how to be a good Christian. You got to be taught that again. Are y'all fired up tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So growth is not an option. It's an imperative.
Yes, amen.
It should be received and embraced as a non-negotiable for everybody in this room and everybody a part of this church. Praise God.
Praise God.
Because when you're not growing, let me just hit another one square in the face. When you're not growing, you're a liability. Because healthy things grow. And when you're not growing, you got unhealthy. I mean, if you're looking at your prayer life, if it's not increasing, then there's some problems. Houston, there's a problem. We have a problem. Praise God.
Praise God.
Your church attendance should get better.
Amen.
Your faithfulness should be more lined up. Not laxed.
Yes.
Should be lined up. Because when you take things for granted and get casual, then that's where comfort sets in, and that's where problems start coming.
Amen.
Praise God. I know that's not a shouting, running message, but praise God, we're talking about growing your pain threshold. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we read it a couple times before, but I bear just reading it again. Romans chapter 8 tells us in verse 17, write that scripture reference down. If children, how many of your children are God in here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Say, I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
So he said, if you're children, then heirs. You're an heir of God. So God is entrusting you with his great expansive inheritance. heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. That means you share and co-partner with him in his inheritance. But he gives us this two-letter word that sometimes we trip over. If so be that we suffer with him. Now, he was made the captain of our salvation and made perfect through sufferings. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. How are we going to learn obedience? Through the things that we suffer. And we said suffer, the Greek word, we got it there in your handout, is panthema, something undergone, hardship, or pain. Everybody say, I'm going to go through stuff. He said, if so be you suffering, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we said before, no suffering, no glory. Everybody say that. No suffering,
no suffering,
no glory.
No glory.
All right, let's go back to 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering. No, so here's this third element of humility. You got to resist the devil. Because humility just means I'm going to do things God's way, not my way. So when the devil encroaches your territory, your life experience, and he brings pain, you're supposed to resist the devil when he tries to tempt you to handle that pain the wrong way. And we talked about it last two Wednesday nights. You can curse the pain, that wrong way. Everybody say wrong way.
Wrong way.
You can nurse the pain. Everybody say wrong way. You can rehearse the pain. Everybody say wrong way.
Wrong way.
Our responsibility is to reverse the pain. Because when you curse the pain, you become bitter. When you nurse the pain, you become a blamer. When you rehearse the pain, you batter and bruise yourself. He said, resist him steadfast in your faith. So when you reverse the pain, it's an exercise of your faith. You get better. You get better at handling painful situations, and the perfecting process is working in your life, just like it worked on our Lord Jesus Christ's life.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm excited about this. The same sufferings. So in other words, friends, you and I have to deal with the devil. He's a meanie. Because you ever wonder why God didn't just wipe him out in the beginning and said, just get rid of him. There's no temptation anymore. Well, he'll be getting rid of for 1,000 years and a millennium, and then he'll get rid of forever after that. But we had to deal with him. Jesus had to deal with the devil. You have to deal with the devil. The low-level devils that's hanging around your house and trying to get in your family and get in your situations and mess up your future, you've got to deal with the devil. Amen. Why? Because part of your inheritance is his name, his blood. Come on now. Amen. And his gift of righteousness to you. That means you have full legal rights to use the name, to apply the blood, to say it is written, to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on now. Amen. To tell the devil, you stop and cease and desist in your maneuvers and stop in your operations against my family, against my finances, against my future. Come on now. You have to deal with the devil. You resist him. James says it this way. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if he doesn't resist, if you don't resist him, he doesn't flee. And if he doesn't flee, he hangs around and stays around. And if he doesn't flee, you don't win. Because eventually he'll wear you down. But by faith, you can outlast the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So often we're professing things that we want to see, but instead of dealing with the other side of confession. We call it the dark side of confession, where, you know, where Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever, in other words, whatever you allow, God will allow. If you allow your house to be tore up from the flow up and you never address the incursions of the enemy and the advancements of the adversary that come into your life, you never stop him when he tries to get in between your ears with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are evil and demonic. Come on now. If you never say, you never cast down imagination, then you're not suffering like you should, because you're just allowing things to happen. I don't want to fight. I don't want to deal with this. And then what most people do, quit. Is this helping somebody?
Yes, amen.
He said, the same sufferings are experienced in brotherhood and in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have, what? Suffered a while. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and what? Settle you. Amen. So let's go down to those. We see what we define pain as: persecution from people, right? Pressure of circumstances, peril of danger, and problems that occur in our lives. So we're going to have that. That's the what I would suggest to you, the four pillars of pain. Now, the key question to ask yourself is, do you want to be a better leader, a better parent, a better boss, a better manager? Then you have to raise your threshold of pain. Do you want our church, Triumph Word Christian Center, TWCC, to grow, or your personal business to reach higher goals? The answer is, the reluctance to face pain is your greatest limitation. We said it, no pain, no gain. No suffering, no glory. So there is no growth without change, no change without loss, and no loss without pain. You'll only grow to the threshold of your pain. So that's why we said, even in the emotions of a leader, a person can have great IQ, great talent, mental acuity, and great education and academia. But when the problems of life slap them across their face, they have low EQ, low emotional quotient. That means their ability to respond positively in situations of stress, struggle, or situations that occur in their life. When the devil slaps you, they forget all that learning from school and educational, scholarly, erudite stuff, and it's no longer logic now. They're just losing it. Hallelujah, they have low EQ. All right? Let's keep going. Now let's look at growing your pain threshold. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations of your life, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. Everybody say, I'm supposed to endure.
I'm supposed to endure.
In temptation. That's part of the suffering. Now, how many days, answer me, church, friends, how many days was Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted? 40 days. Come on now. And he had to deal with the devil. What do you think you're going to be in? We leave Egypt. We don't go to the promised land automatically. We go through the wilderness. Wilderness is development. There's no if you don't develop, you don't grow. Development creates discipline, dedication, and devotion. If you're not allowing the Holy Spirit through the Word to develop you, then you're not developing discipline, dedication, or devotion. And like we said, motivation gets you going, but it's discipline that keeps you growing.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. So you have to realize right now that if I'm in this situation, if I'm under this stress load, if I'm dealing with this struggle in my life or marriage or family situation, then you must know that God would not let me be here if he knew I could not handle it. But people have the wrong response. They automatically just fly off the handle and they want to tell everybody how bad and horrible my situation is, my stress is, my struggle is. It's unique to me because I'm so special that the devil can throw some complex curveballs at me. It's no different. King James calls it common. It's common. Everybody's going through stuff. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Everybody say, God would not allow me, to be in stress, for situations, struggles, or situations, if he knew, I can't handle it. He won't let it. You'll not be tempted beyond your limitations to endure it.
Yes.
Woo, glory to God. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So during tense, trouble or turbulent or troubling times in our lives, God is faithful to provide a way of escape.
Amen.
Now, that's not escaping out of the situation, because some people on retreat, you know, that whole fight or flight mode. They say, well, if I can't fight it, I'm going to flight it. I'm going to run. Well, you're not supposed to be retreating as a Christian. Because you got to stop and think, God would not let me be here if I couldn't handle it. And then, Lord, what's my way of escape? So that means he helps you reframe your focus and refocus your focus so you can see things from a bigger perspective. That means God, the way God sees it. Amen? That's why worship is so important. Worship helps you zoom out of looking at what's wrong with you and what's wrong with your circumstances. And it helps you zoom in on what's right with God.
Amen.
And what's right about God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So he's faithful to provide a way of escape. So you tell the Lord, what's my escape plan so I can endure this? That means not just put up with it. And, no. It's a cheerful endurance.
Yes.
You get to a point like Brother Hagin said. He said, you still coming on the horizon. You say, another opportunity for God to get the glory out of my life. This is another opportunity to prove God's word true on my behalf.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God. For another opportunity to see my faith come into full manifestation of the promise of God. To the glory of God.
Yes.
And then number two, a way back. That's when you run off the reservation, when you've gotten off the tracks, God says, get back on the track. It's called repentance. Because repentance is needed when there's disobedience, rebellion, and sin.
Mm-hmm.
See, as a leader in your home or job and business and church ministry, one of the things that you have to deal with is the issue of growth. You have to know yourself and grow yourself and others. And when you go through the same little situation or stress or struggle, you don't deal with it the same way. You don't fall and crumble like a cheap suit. Or fold like a cheap suit, I should say. That's a phrase. All right, so we see the growth scriptures. I'm gonna keep going because of time. Remember, growth is messy, and some people grow into the size of the problem and not to the level of their potential. So if you're not growing, then people will dislike. If you're growing, then people won't dislike something that you're doing because you're changing and you're losing things. You're not sitting around watching TV for 8 hours a day anymore. You're not surfing the internet until wee hours in the morning and not even looking at the word. We gotta be disciplined in this thing. Amen. Amen. The changes, transition, and growth tend to draw out the critics and complainers because you ain't the same old person anymore. You're changing. So if you're a sensitive soul to the point to where it bothers you, you need to grow your pain threshold. There will be more opportunities to feel pain. Amen? And so we talked about the danger zones of ministry. When you're in a danger zone is when those three things occur on the back of your page, number two. Everything becomes a problem. There's a hesitancy to reach out because the number of times you've reached out to get involved in people's lives and engage with them, then somehow your good intentions were abused. And some people have said, well, I don't want to get used because I get abused. So God, you stop allowing your availability to be open. We said the best ability is what? Availability. Praise God. And so, or you're just going through the motions where there's no fire, there's no focus. Amen. To your life. So these three symptoms describe the pain threshold. So how do you grow it? Well, those four areas are listed. Purpose, why you do what you do. You need to go back. That's why we gave many of you the vision in pamphlet form or email form. Because why? Because you need to go back and look at your own vision. That's why we gave you a write-down vision, your vision goals. Because if you don't look at it and refresh yourself to it, then you'll lose track of it. You'll lose focus. Your purpose must be expanding. Because without purpose, the day-to-day stress, stuff, and situations alone will crush you. You'll seem like you're overwhelmed just doing your job as a mama or as a parent or as a, you know, father or whatever, going to work. That's too much. I'm overwhelmed. Number two, passion. For whom you do what you do. Your passion must be growing. Without passions, your problems and life will overwhelm you. That's your fervency level, your zeal, your strong conviction and devotion. You got to keep the fire burning. You got to keep that fire inside your belly. Amen? Be burning with the Spirit at all times. And see, the Lord will make our passion like a magnet if we will make him our passion. Make your passion your paycheck. Passion will move men beyond themselves and beyond their shortcomings and beyond their failures. See, passion about nothing is like pouring gas in a car with no wheels. I mean, it's just interesting because I used to stand over here and just a couple minutes, so we'll be closing here in about 7 minutes. Give me 7 minutes. So standing over here sometimes, and you can see who's passionate about worship. You can see it on Sunday morning, who's passionate about worship. Some people just stare at the screen. What's that mean? Well, if you don't, it's hard to be publicly a praiser when you're not privately a praiser. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You can see who's passionate about giving and receiving because you see people's excitement. They light up when it's time to increase my income.
Hallelujah.
It's not just offering time. It's not just investment time. It's time to increase my income. Right. Woo, glory to God. Right. And they're not looking like they're at a funeral. They're holding on to their wallet and making how much are you going to try to take out of that? Hallelujah. And then patience. How long do you do what you wanted to do? Patience. Your patience has to be able to stretch. So without patience, the little things will eat away at you. And so we always say, don't grow old and bitter. Grow old and better. The emphasis is on grow. Not the age, but growing. You're growing in patience. That means you're delicate, you're tender, you're just loving, you're pliable, you're just a blessing to be around.
Amen.
Amen. You know, like they used to say this old phrase, I know it's in another context, but the older the grapes are, or the older the wine, since, you know, it's supposed to be better tasting. I don't know that, but, you know, don't drink wine. But you know, the older we get in the Lord, man, we should be tasting better. People just say, man, it's just good to be around you. You're a blessing to be around. You're not an old curmudgeon Christian, cantankerous and cranky all the time. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So your patience, your cheerfulness must be larger than your frustration. So that means your frustration is at this level. That's what pain is at, that pain threshold. But your cheerful endurance should be at this level. Does everybody see that?
Yes.
So that means you learn to rejoice. You let love dominate your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And then prayer. How do you do what you do? Your prayer must increase. So take a measurement of your prayer life. Because without prayer life, without prayer life and leading courageously is bigger than you. So in other words, it's a mismatch. Life will tower above you, and there was no way for you to defend yourself aside from prayer. Because things are too big. Problems that are like small little pebbles are like big mountains to you. Because you don't pray. Amen. And so what do you got to do with prayer? You should not just pray about your present, but see, as you grow in prayer, you pray the will of God in your future. You got single children in your house. You, as parents, you praying over their spouse. You praying out ahead. You praying out ahead for their next grade. You praying about the college they go to. Because sometimes prayer, when you hadn't grown in prayer, you just prayer is reactionary. They go grab the pastor, go pray about my problem. That's your present or your past. But when you grow in prayer, you pray about your future. I like how Mark Hanks used to tell us and advise us, is if you're praying about what needs to happen this week, you're behind schedule. We ought to be very predictive and positive about what will happen because we pray about it this week. It's already done. The chronicles of heaven have it recorded. Your petition's already in heaven, and you've already put it out there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can tell the language of people that talk around, but they're praying because they're expecting things to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm running out of time, so praise God. What else am I going to give you, Lord? I got 2 minutes. Praise God. Well, let's talk about the three P's of ministry just briefly in 2 minutes, because we need to understand the purpose, price, and profit of leadership in life and ministry. Because you can have what we have, the little diagram designated there, the different types of responses to pain, where Elijah said, I had enough. He was very discouraged at that point because he prayed that he died. Asaph was overwhelmed because he was complaining all the time and his spirit was overloaded. You see, Paul says, trouble's trying to get in my way, but I'm not letting it move me. Amen.
Amen.
There is a purpose, friends. There is a price to pay. And there is a profit when you pay the price. So in 1st and 2nd Timothy, we see Paul going through many, many different descriptions of sufferings and situations that he's telling Timothy, ministry is hard work. And ministry is a contact sport. You're going to get hurt. And sometimes you had to play hurt, just like on a football field. But, or in the basketball field, sometimes those guys play hurt. They take painkillers and stuff, and they just come out there and play. But you can't play hurt all the time. But you got to grow your level of pain threshold, and you got to have boundaries and barriers around that. So we'll talk about that next week. Praise God. Let's stand.